Dhyayam Vishnupad, Paramhamsa Paravidakacharya Satyata Sri Srimad, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti, Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupad, Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj, Dijai. All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious Vishnu Guru and Gauranga. Today we're reading from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 7th chapter. We'll start at the beginning. And the chapter is entitled, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. So, let me start. I'll read the first two verses, then we'll go to the one we're going to start on. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 The first two verses. Shukadev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods and demons summoned Vasuki, king of the serpents, requesting him to come and promising to give him a share of the nectar. They coiled Vasuki around Mandara mountain as a churning rope, and with great pleasure they endeavored to produce nectar by churning the ocean of milk. The personality of Godhead, Ajita, grasped the front portion of the snake, and then the demigods followed. Now repeat after me. Tan,
Tan.
Nai Chan,
Nai Chan.
Daitya,
Daitya.
Patayo,
Patayo.
Tannai chan daitya patayo.
Tannai chan daitya patayo.
Maha,
Maha.
Purusha,
Purusha.
Cheshtitam,
Cheshtitam.
Maha Purusha Cheshtitam.
Maha Purusha Cheshtitam.
Na,
Na.
Grinimo,
Grinimo.
Vayam,
Vayam.
Puchcham,
Puchcham.
Nagrinimo vayam puchcham.
Nagrinimo vayam puchcham.
This is going to be it's going to be kind of distracting, isn't it? But
yeah.
Yeah. Aher angam amangalam.
Amangalam.
Aherangam amangalam.
Aherangam amangalam.
Svadhyaya.
Svadhyaya.
Shruta.
Shruta.
Sampanaha.
Sampanaha.
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha.
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha.
Prakyata.
Prakata.
Janma.
Janma.
Karmabihi.
Karmabihi.
Rakyata janma karnibihi. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada tolerated, but most of the time he did not. Babies in the class.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear in the lectures, take care of that, you know. The kids are screaming. But sometimes he just kept going, you know, there's like sirens wailing, you know, all kinds of other distractions.
Really?
Yeah, Simon is giving classes all over the place. In fact, I'm listening to a series of classes now where you can hear rock music in the background. They tried to cut it out, but I'm wondering, is somebody else playing? No, it's actually coming out of the end of the lecture. Rock music is going, I thought I was giving a lecture. So, you know, I'm not that concentrating. Tandai Chandaitya Patayo
Tandai Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Tangri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Tangri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangama Mangalam
Aherangama Mangalam
Svadhyaya Sutta Sampanaha
Svadhyaya Sutta Sampanaha
Prakyata Janma Karma Bihi
Prakyata Janma Karma Bihi
Tannay Chandai Chapatayo
Tannay Chandai Chapatayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Nagri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangama Mangalam
Aherangama Mangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Samparaha
Svadhyaya Shruta Samparaha
Prakyata Janma Karma Bihi
Prakyata Janma Karma Bihi
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Nagri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangama Mangalam
Aherangama Mangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha
Prakyata Janma Karma Bihi
Prakyata Janma Karma Bihi
Others? Anyone?
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagrihini Mo Vayam Puchcham
Nagrihini Mo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangam Amangalam
Aherangam Amangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampannaha
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampannaha
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Tannay
Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagranimo
Vayam Puchcham
Nagranimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangam
Amangalam
Aherangam Amangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanna
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanna
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangam Amangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanna
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagranimo Vayam Puchcham
Nagranimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangam Amangalam
Aherangam Amangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi Mataji
Tannay Chandaitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Chestitam
Nagri Nimo Vayam Puchcham
Aherangam
Amangalam
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanna
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bihi
Please repeat after me.
Tat,
that arrangement.
Na
Aichan.
Not liking.
Daitya Patayaha. The leaders of the demons.
Mahapurusha.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Chestitam.
Attempt.
Na.
Not. Grinimaha
shall take.
Vayam. All of us. The daityas.
Pucham.
The tail. Ahehe. Of the serpent. Angam.
Angam.
Part of the body. Amangalam.
Amangalam.
Inauspicious.
Inferior.
Svadhyaya.
Svadhyaya.
With Vedic study.
Shruta.
And Vedic knowledge.
Sampanaha.
Fully equipped. Prakyataha. Prominent. Janma karmibhi. By birth and activities. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The leaders of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake. No one was ever killed by the tail of a snake. Right? Which is the auspicious? The back end or the front end? Nobody ever got killed by the back end of a snake, right? So they thought the front end was more auspicious. That's the part that kills people. Instead, they wanted to hold the front, which had been taken by the personality of Godhead and the demigods, because that portion was auspicious and glorious, and it killed many, many people. Thus the demons, on the plea that they were all highly advanced students of Vedic knowledge and were all famous for their birth and activities, protested that they wanted to hold the front of the snake. Now it's interesting to note that the demons here also, that the demons were also highly advanced in Vedic knowledge. It says here that the Swadhyaya and Shrutadeva had studied Vedic knowledge. When we read in the Sundara Kanda, the Ramayana, that when Hanuman was going through Lanka, he could hear the chanting of the Vedas. There was whole communities of Brahmins living. There's a whole section of, there's a Varna Ashram and even in the, amongst the Rakshasas. So there was, I can't remember the exact name of them now, there's a group that, and they were chanting the Vedas, studying the Vedas. But what is the difference is that they were studying the Karmakanda section. Those who are devotees, they are in the Vedas, they're called Ekanta in the Chandogya Upanishad. Those are the Vaishnavas. They're strictly only one-pointed in their purpose of their worship, and that's to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the whole Pancharatrika Shastra is based upon this Ekanta, those who are focused on the worship of the Lord. So it's not just that the demigods are studying the Vedas. The demons are also studying the Vedas, but in order to get material prosperity. There's a whole, you know, Karma Kanda section, Jnana Kanda, Upasana Kanda. So they are focused on increasing their material activities, increasing the material facilities, and that's done by the Vedas. So we shouldn't be confused why the demons are knowledgeable in the Vedas. That they may be knowledgeable in the Vedas, but most of the time they don't know the purpose of the Vedas. What is the purpose of the Vedas? Which verse explains the purpose of the Vedas?
Veda-vid-eva-chaham.
By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. So purport. The demons thought that the front of the snake was auspicious, and that catching hold of that portion would be more chivalrous. Moreover, the daityas must always do the opposite of the demigods. And one says white, the other must say black. You know? That is their nature. We have actually seen this in relationship to our Krishna consciousness movement. This is an interesting section. We are advocating cow protection and encouraging people to drink more milk and eat palatable preparations made of milk, which is, you know, now there's a sort of a section in ISKCON which is promoting veganism. No milk. Only milk from so-called protected cows. But any poor cow that's going to be, you know, in the dairy business, if any of their milk gets offered to Krishna, then they'll go back to Godhead, right? Even if it's one drop, even if it's a millionth of a drop, Krishna knows, and then they'll go back to Godhead. But some people say, "Oh no, we shouldn't do that." But imagine in your mind's eye, if you were in a slave labor camp, right? And like they have like these, they're claiming that in China, a lot of goods are produced in China under slave labor. There's people of, they found, I think it was Macy's or some shopping center in the United States. Somebody took one of the shopping bags, and out of the shopping bag came a note from an alleged slave laborer in China. Because the bags are made in China, and they're all upset. Everybody's all upset. Some slave laborer is making this bag, so he's gonna make the bag, whether you know or not. So, if you imagine you're a slave laborer working in some debt camp, and you're making goods. Now, suppose if you could offer something that you made to Krishna, and you'd get, you know, benefit. You're gonna die in that camp one way or the other. But then some devotees say, "Oh no." The fact that you're in a slave labor camp is not a good thing. We're going to make a political statement. We're not going to accept anything from those slave labor camps. And then you're going to die one way or the other. Right? Would you prefer that you something that you've made is offered to Krishna, or that they make their political statement? Right? So I would prefer that some gift that I made was offered to Krishna, then I get some benefit, as opposed to them making a political statement. So here's Srila Prabhupada saying, "We are advocating cow protection and encouraging milk people to drink more milk and eat palatable preparations made of milk. But the demons, just to protest such proposals, are claiming that they are advanced in scientific knowledge, as described here by the words Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanaha. They say that according to their scientific way, that they have discovered that milk is dangerous." Ever heard that before? Mm-hmm. Health food, natural, that milk is not good for you. Tell that to Krishna. Milk is dangerous. Yes, because if you drink more milk, it'll develop finer brain tissues, and you'll figure out what's going on around you, you know? It's dangerous to her who? It's dangerous for the military-industrial complex. It's dangerous for the people who want to control you. And once when I was in Lucknow, at a wedding, and I was asking why there was so much buffalo milk being drunk. You know? So the host was telling me how that during the British Raj, the British were noticing that their horses were winning the races because they were feeding their horses formula made with cow milk. But the local princes, their horses were not doing very well because they were feeding their horses formula made with buffalo milk. Because buffalo milk is used in Ayurveda for people with insomnia. Mm-hmm. It puts you to sleep. It dulls the brain. So the British thought, well, if it makes the horses dull, what will it do to the people? Make them easier to control. So then the British, though they didn't drink the buffalo milk, they got a lot of buffaloes and they parked them in front of their house, and then everybody is thinking, "Oh, Sahib is taking buffalo milk. It must be good. We'll also take buffalo milk." Mm. And this way, dummy down all the people, making it easier to control the Indians. Because now buffalo milk is very, because buffalo is 8% milk fat. Cow is 4% milk fat. So everybody started drinking buffalo milk and became stupid, basically. So it's dangerous. Therefore, it's dangerous for the rulers if their population is too intelligent for some people, because so they don't want they want a very lobotomized citizens who are just the worker bees, just worker bees. If you ever, anybody ever seen, read that book, A Brave New World. So they would make test tube babies. So the alphas, they were like the Brahmins. And the betas, they were like the technocrats. They would have deltas. They put a little bit of formaldehyde into the formula. And these ones were just happy to press the button in the elevator all day. They'd be like the elevator attendants. They didn't have much brain substance. So they want people to be easily amenable to control of the government. So don't drink milk. So the demons are saying that they've discovered that milk is dangerous and that beef obtained by killing the cow is very nutritious. This difference of opinion will always continue. Indeed, it has existed since days of yore. Millions of years ago, there was this same competition. The demons, as a result of their so-called Vedic study, preferred to hold the side of the snake near the mouth. The Supreme Personality of God had thought it wise to catch hold of the dangerous part of the snake. See, he knew it was the dangerous part of the snake. And allow the demons to hold the tail, which is not dangerous. And no one ever got killed by the end of the snake, the tail of the snake, right? But because of the competitive desire, the demons thought it was wise to hold the snake near the mouth. If the demigods were going to drink poison, the demons would resolve, why should we not share the poison and die gloriously by drinking it? This also reminds of the time when Krishna was offering to Dronacharya to Duryodhan and Arjuna. You know, whoever he sees at the when he wakes up, he would give a benediction first. So Arjuna was standing at the feet of Krishna, and Duryodhan wanted to stand at the head because he thought that Krishna, if he's at Krishna's head, then Krishna will see him. Because he thought he was smarter. But when you're laying down, you don't see who's above you. You see your feet. So in this way, Arjuna was able to ask for the benediction. Krishna said, you can either have me, or you can have my army. So Arjuna said, let me take Krishna. And Duryodhana was happy to get the whole army, which was then killed. So it's not the first time. In regard to the words Swadvaya Shruta Sampana Prakyata Janma Karmadi, another question may be raised. If one is actually educated in Vedic knowledge, is famous for performing activities that have been born and have been born in a great aristocratic family, why should he be called a demon? Like what? They're students of the Vedas, you know, like Ravana was greatly learned in the Vedas. The answer is that one may be highly educated and may have been born in an aristocratic family, but if he is godless, if he does not listen to the instructions of God, then he is a demon. It's like in the Karma Kanda, in the Mimamsa, there's the Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. Uttara Mimamsa is called also known as the Vedanta Sutra. But in the Purva Mimamsa of Jaimini Rishi, it's all karma kanda. We mentioned in the eighth offense against the holy name is to consider the chanting the holy name to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kanda. So such followers of the Purva Mimamsa, they say the Vedas, there is no author, it's all Purushaya, there's no author, and that God, if there is even a God, is obligated to give the result of the yajna. In fact, they become atheists. There is no God. It's just adrishta. We don't know. they've taken that out of the equation. If you do this formula, you get the result. And there is no God, there is no liberation, just the material world is internal. So if you're going to be in a material world, better to be in Swarga. So they're very expert in the Vedas, but they don't think there's a God. The material world is eternal, and just we should be going to Swarga all the time. That's why you notice the demons are always trying to take over Swarga. They're always trying to take over the heavenly planets. They're not trying to get out of the material world. They're just trying to get the golden cells, the better cells in the prison. Or the same like with Varnashram. I mean, why should we follow Varnashram? Even the demons were following Varnashram. Like when Arjuna and Bhima and Krishna went to Jarasandha, he was perfectly following Varnashram, giving charity to the Brahmins. He was a great, like I said, in Lanka, which is the abode of the Rakshasa, they had Brahmins. They were giving charity to the Brahmins. But they're simply interested in whatever punya you get, and you get a higher elevation in your next birth. The difference between Varnashram Dharma and Daiva Varnashram, as explained by Krishna to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, see that system of Varnashram, you just want Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha. But Krishna is saying, because Arjuna didn't want to follow, he didn't want to follow his duty. Why didn't he want to follow his Dharma? Because what's the Artha? What's the Karma? There's no Artha, no Karma, because that's his complaint. If I kill everybody, then what am I going to enjoy? I get the whole kingdom, but everybody I wanted to share it with is gone. You have some nice gift, or you get some nice, something nice. You want to show it to somebody. You get a nice car, you want to take your wife or your girlfriend in the car, you want to go for it, or your friends at least, whatever. Because by yourself, who can see that you got anything? You want somebody to share it with. So Arjuna didn't want to do it because there's nobody to share it with. So therefore, he didn't want to do his duty because there's going to be no Artha and no Karma. So Krishna says, forget about that program. Mm. Forget about that program. First of all, you're not your body, and you should do your duty totally detached from any result. You should simply, and in such an detached way, you get moksha. Mm-hmm. No? And then from moksha, you get bhakti. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Tama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lambate Param. Once you're from the liberated stage, then you can go to bhakti. So Krishna taught a new paradigm. Dharma, Moksha, Bhakti. And that's mentioned in either the first or second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, that Dharma should never be performed for Artha and Kama, only for Bhakti. Moksha and Bhakti, that's the only reason. So that's the whole program of the Bhagavad Gita. You do your prescribed duty to become free from the bodily designation of life and to please, then from there you can please me. Right? The whole, in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Krishna summarizes Daivi Varnashram. First he gives in three verses the duties of a Brahmin, the duties of a Kshatriya, and then in the last verse the duties of Vaishyas and Sudras. And now I will explain to you how someone can achieve perfection by doing these duties to please me. That's it. Simple. Bas. No complicated. We don't know what Daivi Varnashram is. It's exactly the same thing as Varnashram, but done for Krishna. Done for Krishna. He does not listen to the instructions of God and he is a demon. There are many examples in the history of men like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Kamsa who were well educated, who were born in aristocratic families and who were very powerful and chivalrous in fighting, but who, because of deriding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were called Rakshasas or demons. One may be very well educated, but if he has no sense of Krishna consciousness, no obedience to the Supreme Lord, He is a demon. This is described by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Namam duskritino mudaha papajante naradamaha mayaya paritta jhana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Asuram bhavam refers to not accepting the existence of God or the transcendental instruction of the personality of Godhead. So the demons, they are the ones who, you know, these are the four categories. And in this case, Prabhupada is specifically mentioning that though they're very knowledgeable, all their knowledge is now been covered by illusion because they don't know the ultimate purpose. They may know so many things, but if you don't know the purpose, then what's the good? You don't know where you're going. Bhagavad Gita clearly, when I was a bhakta, they would make me stand up. Make me stand up in Bhagavatam class. In Montreal, I used to stand up. Bhagavad Gita clearly consists of transcendental instructions imparted directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why when you read the Bhagavad Gita, it is directly spoken by Krishna. No matter how many times you read the Bhagavad Gita, it's ever fresh. Because when you read the Bhagavad Gita, you make some advancement, right? You understand and becomes more. So then, the next time you read the Bhagavad Gita, because you're on a higher level, when you read it again, you understand it in a different way, which addresses your now increased level of knowledge, and you understand something more. Because it's a transcendental literature. It's Krishna is Navi Yovana, so the Bhagavad Gita is also Navi Yovana. No matter how knowledgeable you are, no matter how many times you study the Bhagavad Gita, every time you read it, you will get some new realization. You'll get some new knowledge. Because it's Krishna speaking to you. It's a mystical book. It's not an ordinary book. It's not like the Encyclopedia Britannica. You know? The Toronto Globe and Mail, or, you know, the Daily Purana, suitable only for lining the bottoms of bird cages. But asuras, instead of accepting these instructions directly, make commentaries according to their own whimsical ways and mislead everyone without profit even for themselves. That's why Srila Prabhupada criticized so heavily. You know, there was 800, when he first published Bhagavad Gita, there was approximately between 600 and 800 translations of the Bhagavad Gita. No one became a devotee. And he heavily criticized people like Dr. Radhakrishnan, the president of India, who was from Andhra Pradesh. No, he was near Chennai. He was from near Chennai in Andhra Pradesh. When he said that, you know, when Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityagya, just surrender unto me, this is asking too much. It's too much. Prabhupada just hammered on this, but too much. And that they would make so many speculations about Krishna, twisting everything. Because he was an Advaitin. It's too much that how can Krishna, you know, demand such things? Make a demand like that. What to speak of Krishna? I was living in the United States and I got a notice from the county to appear for jury duty. They didn't say please, they didn't say, you know, they said, we demand you to appear. not a, you know, dear sir or, you know, hello. We demand you appear. I mean, if the county of some rinky dink, you know, state in North Carolina can make such a state, and you have to go. Because if you don't go, you end up in jail. Like, so there was one lady She was a professor in the university in Austin, and she was teaching, of all things, civic studies, civic studies, what you should do. She failed to come to jury duty. She failed to show up. And that's, and she's teaching people these things. And she failed to show up, because you don't necessarily get selected as a juror, but she didn't even bother coming. So they've put her in jail, specifically because she's teaching civic duties. They threw her in jail. We demand you to appear. So what to speak of Krishna, who is God? Surrender unto me. Now in Srila Prabhupada's commentary on Prahlad Maharaj's answer to Hiranyakashipu, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So Prabhupada gives a very elaborate commentary on each one of these of the nine limbs of Bhagavad Dharma. He explains that the performance of these duties is not for the benefit of Krishna. Krishna doesn't require, he's not benefited by these things. Krishna's punam, he's totally full. We are benefited by doing these things. We're the ones who get benefited. It's like even in this verse, Krishna is thinking of the benefit of the demons. He is going to hold the head of the snake, which is dangerous. He's thinking of the benefit of even of the demons. For their benefit, he was holding the snake. But they didn't trust him. The difference between the demons and the devotees is that the devotees trust Krishna. That Krishna has our best interest at heart. No matter what happens to us, it happens for our benefit. Right? Right, Dhammapano?
Yes.
Whatever happens to us was for our benefit, isn't it?
Yes.
Even, it's hard to understand sometimes, but that's a devotee. Even Siddhartha had a stroke. He accepts that it was for his best interest, isn't it? And you realize that it actually was. I've had things happen to me that there was one incident. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's a good story. There was one great devotee in Kerala. He became very ill. Really, really ill. So he went to the deity, Guru Vaya Appan, Guru Vaya. So he's praying to the deity, please, I'm really sick and I'm not getting better. And he's getting, but nothing's happening. He's just getting worse and worse. So he went to this great astrologer, and he asked the astrologer, give me some remedial measure that I can recover from this illness. So then the astrologer figured out what to do, gave him a remedial measure, and he was cured. He was cured. Then he went back to the deity. He says, I was really sick. How come you didn't do anything? I was praying. I'm your devotee. Why didn't you do praying? Why you didn't help me? And Krishna says, that's because I wanted you to come back. But now that you've done these remedial measures, it's going to take you three more births. No matter what's happening to us, we may not understand, but it's for our best interest. So that devotee, he thought that, getting cured would have helped him. But no, Krishna wanted him to die so that he would go back home. That's why I said when yesterday they were making an announcement at that program that they're going to start teaching devotees how to do CPR. So the next time somebody collapses in front of the deity, they resuscitate them. I said, don't resuscitate me. I want to, what could be more auspicious way to die? And they want to, we're going to help that devotee. We're going to help him, He's going to drag him back into his body. Is it helping? Let me go. Let me go back to God. And they want to drag, the person's about to leave the jail. Oh, drag him back. Now who's helping who? Now you want to be resuscitated?
No.
Don't resuscitate me. I write it on my forehead. Don't resuscitate me. Let me die. I was laying on the side of the road in Mathura. But I wasn't lucky. Tamal Krishna was lucky. He died. I didn't die. I was in Mathura, lying on the side of the road, 12 broken bones, and I was in a bag of broken bones covered in blood. But I was not fortunate enough to die. Death would have been lucky. So don't resuscitate me. Don't resuscitate me. So we don't know that Krishna, whatever he does is for our benefit. We may not understand how it's for our benefit. You know, how is getting a stroke for your benefit? How is getting in a car accident for our benefit? How is being, you know, so many illnesses, so many diseases, so many, it's for our benefit. To purify us. To make us understand the actual cruel nature of this material world. It's a cold, heartless machine that we should leave. And I got tremendous, tremendous realizations from that experience. I mean, the pain did not become tolerable until after 7 weeks. And I was taking, you know, they were giving me fentanyl, which is 100 times more powerful than morphine. But that only lasted for, you know, Prabhu, he's been, you know, over 30 years. I eventually, you know, somewhat better. I'm always in pain, but he had to go through the 1 year is nothing. You know, he's just continuing on. So the deeper realizations, isn't it? The tremendous realizations about the nature of this material world. We have to accept that whatever Krishna does, whatever happens to us, what is the last verse of the Shastaka? That Krishna is my worshipable Lord, even if he handles me roughly with his embrace. Roughly. He is my Lord, unconditionally, no matter what. No matter what. He is my Lord, unconditionally. Because even though he's handling me roughly, it's for my own good. It's like Krishna's holding the mouth of the Vasuki for the benefit of the demons. But they don't trust him. They don't trust him. That's it. Trust means faith. When we say we have faith, it means we have trust in the person. We have to trust Krishna. We don't trust Krishna. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Isn't it? Sometimes we don't trust Krishna because we have to really trust. And sometimes we're afraid to because we have attachments. So we have to trust Krishna. That's the difference between the demon and the devotee. Even Krishna's doing their benefit, they didn't trust him. They thought there must be something wrong here with this program. If Krishna's doing this, it must be something wrong. So what time is it?
8:30.
Okay. So any questions or comments? Is that a question, Mataji?
So if someone does not have any faith or if they have lost their faith, well, how can someone help them?
Give them prasadam. That's the only way. Just give them prasadam. Good prasadam. Really good prasadam. Made with ghee, not oil. No. Give them prasadam. The vast majority of devotees, they became by prasadam, right? Not that many by philosophy. But prasadam, that captured so many devotees. There's one conversation. As a December 12, 1976 in Hyderabad, where Srila Prabhupada is discussing, he was quite disgusted, extremely disgusted. Apparently there's smoke emanating from the speakers. He was so angry because the devotees cut corners for a program and there's so many mass feeding, mass programs that there'd be distribution of prasadam, but this one time, because I asked Harishoy was there, he filled me in. He said, this one time Prabhupada asked, I want a sample. He never asked for a sample before. This time, inspired by Paramahamsa, he said, bring me some of what they're distributing. So Hari Sar, he went to the kitchen and he saw, you know, line up of people, you know, with their plate, and they throw this like indescribable stuff on the plate. They look at it and they just throw it on the ground. Really threw it on the ground. And the street dogs in India, street dogs are, you know, you can count their ribs, they're starving. The street dogs came, smelled it, and then they just walked away.
Oh.
You know, how bad it has to be that a starving street dog won't eat it. And then he saw the person who was cooking, he was the bungee. He was the street sweeper. They hired him to cook it, and he was skimming off any of the good parts and he was bringing it home for his family. So Hari Sarvan reported this to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was, I'm glad I wasn't there. I experienced the Guru's mercy in a different way at that time. I'm glad I only experienced it through his separated energy with his tapes, Prabhupada explains. In the morning walk, I can't remember where it was, somebody asked him, what does it mean, separated energy? So there was two, they had two tape recorders. So he stops, says, rewind this tape. Then they play the tape and you can hear Prabhupada listening to himself speaking. He says, this is my separated energy. So I was experiencing it through the separated energy, and Prabhupada was so upset. They were trying to give all kinds of excuses. He said, Prabhupada says, prasadam should be good enough for God, not that the dogs reject it. The starving street dogs reject it. You know, no matter who you may be cooking, who you may be distributing it to later, you may be distributing it to street sweepers or politicians or the homeless, you're cooking it for Krishna. So it has to be good enough for Krishna. Not that it has to be good enough for the homeless people. It has to be good enough for Krishna. The best ingredients. Oh, but Srila Prabhupada, you know, we didn't have anybody. He stopped, really stopped, says, I will give you out of my own pocket. Spend, says, don't be a miser. Spend for Krishna. I will give you out of my own pocket. Don't be a miser. Spend for Krishna. And he went on, says, I started this movement with prasadam. I started with movement with prasadam. I cooked it myself. I distributed. And he started recounting certain stories about how this one devotee, he would eat 20 chapatis, you know, like that. And he started softening a little bit, you know, remembering the old days. But then he got back again, fight, like, don't be, you know, it has to be good enough for Krishna. Forget about who else is who's going to eat it later. Krishna is a garbage can. He doesn't have to accept what you give him. Duryodhan learned that. Duryodhan tried to pull the same trick on him that he pulled on Shalya. You know that story? Shalya was coming, powerful warrior, so he made all these rest stops. But he didn't say who was supplying the goods. And then he got nice food and nice, you know, clothing, and got his feet massaged, and there were some nice ladies, the whole thing. And by the time he got to the place, he said, well, whoever did this for me, I'll be on their side. And he found it was Duryodhan. That gave my word something. But he's the uncle of Nakula, and he's the uncle of the Pandavas. And he's fighting on the opposite side. So when Duryodhan tried to pull that same trick on Krishna, you know, Krishna, for the last ditch effort for peace, he came from Upaplavya to Hastinapur. And, you know, Duryodhan, he was like, honey was dripping from his mouth, you know, dripping, you know, because the Kshatriyas, they are soft on the outside, but they're hard on the inside. Whereas Brahmins is the opposite. They're very hard on the outside, but soft on the inside, like newly churned butter. Because when Virata Maharaj sent his the Rajguru as the emissary, he immediately just went to the point and told him what the situation was. And Bhishma Dev said, oh, you're very sharp and to the point. Says, that must be because you're a Brahmin. no sweet words. But Duryodhan, he was dripping, just, you know, He was just, honey was dripping from his mouth. Like, he was so sweetly speaking to Krishna, you know, you please come, you could stay in the best palace and come to my house and you'll be, you know, served in golden. Really trying to butter him up, you know. And Krishna says, people only eat for two reasons. If they're hungry, or if it's offered in love. He says, I'm not hungry and you don't love me. Anyone who hates the Pandavas hates me. I'm going to go eat at Vidura's house. Who had been kicked out of the palace by Duryodhana. I'm going to go eat at Vidura's house. Like that. So the next day, Duryodhana showed his real, tried to kidnap Krishna, tried to arrest him. Then they showed him. First there was the sweet side, and next it was the real side. He was a demon who tried to kidnap and kill Krishna. And then, of course, the others had figured out something like that would happen, and they showed up on the scene and they stopped the whole thing. So therefore the point is prasadam. Real prasadam. You know, prasadam means it has to be something that Krishna will accept. Offered with love, made with the best ingredients you can possibly buy. It means ghee, butter, not oil, not margarine. Krishna is makkhan chur, not dalda chur. You don't know what that is. Dalda is like, you know, it's a brand of artificial butter, you know, like a margarine type of stuff, or vanaspati. He's not, you know, Mother Yashoda was not churning margarine. You know, she was churning butter, making ghee. That's what Krishna likes. Comes from the cows. They would feed one cow's milk to another cow, that cow's milk to another cow. And this way, and finally, Krishna got the concentrated milk from 1,000 cows. They're giving the best to Krishna. What was it, Raghava Pandit? You know, he would only get the best coconuts. He would go for miles to get better coconuts. And if some, you know, if it touched the doorway, he wouldn't, because, you know, some dust would risen and touch it, and if the coconut touched it, he wouldn't offer that coconut. Only the best. Because it's Krishna. Now, if somebody takes that, then that will have the transformation of their heart, no matter who they are, and how stone hearted they might be. Just like there's the history of Yamunacharya. That's how he was the king. So his grandfather sent his disciple to bring him out of the Maya. So he was, every day this rishi, this sage, would bring him the special greens. And then that converted his mind. So these such persons, the only thing that can help them is prasadam. But it has to be prasadam, not something that was thrown, put in front of the deity. Because they don't know. In fact, in Puri, Jagannath Puri, they have a method of determining whether the deity actually accepted or not. They pour some water in their hand, and if they can see the reflection of the deity in that water, then it means the deity accepted that prasadam. So it has to be, you know, the quality of the items, you know, the consciousness of the cook, you know, how it's offered. That makes, and then Krishna accepts it, then it's prasadam. Then it will have, you know, very powerful psychoactive effect on the person who eats that. That's why when imagine Srila Prabhupada personally cooked. Served. That's why so many people became purified. A pure devotee is cooking. Imagine how he, Srila Prabhupada's consciousness when he cooked. And then if you eat that prasadam, that would have a great impact. So that's the only way you're going to affect such persons, is give them prasadam. And they'll develop, it'll give them intelligence. As Napoleon said, you know, the army marches on the stomach. And Lord Chaitanya's army, that's it's not only it's not only fuel, but it's also our main, one of our main weapons. So our weapons should, you don't dilute the potency of your weapon. You know, you don't make your bombs less potent. You don't put water into the powder. You want to make them more powerful. So our weapon is our prasad. So it has to be more potent. You don't make it less potent. You don't nullify it. So that's the way. Prasad.
So what about these demons then? Nobody gave them prasad?
They weren't getting pushed. Which demons?
All these,
like me?
No. The ones talked about in the
I guess not. They were not. They were not getting prasad. They were not getting prasad. They were. You know, they were not offering their food to Vishnu. They were eating yajna shishta, but they were their yajnas were karmakanda yajnas for getting different material benefits.
You see, they were fighting the demigods. So who are they offering their food to?
Who?
The demons.
They're not offering food to anybody. They're doing yajna shishta. They're doing great sacrifices.
To who?
That's so they're to different. It's like in the karmakanda, they don't even believe in the demigods. Mm-hmm. Only the mantra. It's a magic, mystical formula. It represents nothing. The mantra itself is powerful. According to Mimamsa, the eternal sound vibrations, the formulas which have magical properties, adrishta, the personalities who are mentioned in it don't exist. Just somehow or other they work. That's why it's considered atheism. That's why we don't. That's why to consider, that's why it's the eighth offense to consider that the Maha Mantra is one of these karmakandic rituals, because ultimately it's atheism. Mm-hmm. It's, no. They believe in the Vedas, but they don't believe what the Vedas say. Only this, they believe that the Vedas are eternal and that the sound vibrations have mystic potency. You know, or they would, you know, worship material energy, Durga, like that. Oh, like, you know, glad that I worship Shiva. You worship Shiva. That's also an offense. The second offense against the holy name. Consider the demigods to be equal to independent of the Lord Vishnu. Because those devas, they give so many, they give benedictions which then create problems. Like at the end of in the 10th chapter of the 7th canto, Krishna told Brahma, don't give any more benedictions like that. Okay? No more benedictions like that. Because now it created the problems in the universe. Okay, now I have to go in for, I have to do it in such a way that didn't break your promise. But you should, don't give any more benedictions like that. Same thing with Lord Shiva, when he gave that benediction to that demon who, whoever I touch, his head will split into 100 pieces. Asutosh, very easily pleased. So they think Shiva is equivalent to Vishnu. So only Shiva and Lord Brahma were not subjugated by Hiranyakashipu and Vishnu. Even Narada Muni had to serve Hiranyakashipu. Like that, so they just think that somehow they have to come. That's karmakanda. Krishna is obligated. That's the philosophy that Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj in order to dissuade him from performing the Indra Yajna. You know, he's obligated. He's speaking atheism. Krishna was speaking atheism to his father. Karmakanda. Purva Mimamsa. Philosophy. And later, Jaimini Rishi, he recanted that philosophy. Because then he's the one who spoke, who instructed Parikshit Maharaj in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That Mahabharata, he instructed him, the essence of the Mahabharata was by Jaimini Rishi. Because he later changed his mind. He must have got some good Mahaprasad. Changed his mind. Any other questions? Speaking of prasadam, Is it going to be? Oh, this is, it is today Ekadasi?
Yeah.
Oh, no cake for you then.
Oh, no. There is actually.
And the Ekadasi cake. Oh, what is that going to be made from? We'll find out.